Dude, I took Breeze over 2.5 touchdowns.
Wow. Okay. You were feeling good.
I was, bro, oh, I was, my frequency was at a high level, you know.
Back the door for the curious girl, cause she's waiting, she's been waiting. A chopper line for the fiending man, cause he wants one. You know, you got to. Can you feel it? Can you feel it tonight? Are you alone? Tell me, are you fucking high? In the moment you are just so right.
What's up? Welcome home. Billy Gunn. Taking the over. This is the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where if you found your way here somehow without subscribing to the Dome Patrol United Network via wherever you get your pods, except for YouTube, you need to go and search Dome Patrol United and then subscribe, and then you can listen to the show all the time. In fact, today's guest is somebody who did just that. Today's guest is another friend of mine for over 20 years, because that's what we do on this show. We hang out with our friends. I don't want experts. I don't want expert analysis. If I wanted expert analysis, I'd listen to a better podcast. Tonight's guest, very, very dear friend of mine, and I'm glad to share him with you. We're welcoming Ben Neihardt from the Shalmation Nation, an OG original Shalmation. Ben, what's up, man?
Man, I am, as I tell everyone, I'm living the dream, man. Just, you know, living the dream. What else?
Living the dream. They let you out of the wet. They let you out of the Chalmette, mm-hmm. and you found your way to like the North Shore, yeah. the nice part of the North Shore. Yeah. Is there a rule against that? I thought they didn't let too many of y'all Shalmations out.
No, that's there's many, many Shalmations over here, man. We kind of took over after Katrina. So, I mean, I haven't been here that long, but I mean, I have several friends of mine that have been here since Katrina, man. And they just kind of overrun the St. Yeah. Tammany. So that's kind of what we do. You know, we just
over the place. Incidentally enough, bro, where I'm at in South Mississippi, you know where I'm at. And yep. Shalmations everywhere. And then they've been here for like 10 years. They've been here since Katrina. They've been here 15 years. Yep. And it's there's like a Chalmette influence, like infecting. It's great. I mean, I say infect. It's a beautiful thing. I love Shalmation. So
yeah, I love the way you use the word infecting, because that's kind of what we do. We're kind of a disease. We're kind of like a virus. We, you know, at one point you're going to get real sick of us, but then, hey man, you'll get over it, you know? So
yeah, I got one Shalmation. I don't think I can talk about it. I'll do it after the show, and if we can, we'll edit it in. But he's a Shalmation that lives across the street. But
oh, sure. Okay.
It's a long story. Man, last week Saints lost. In case you hadn't heard about that, which means that I lost two. Mm-hmm. Ben, you're a gambler, dude, right? You throw a little little cheese around from time to time, don't you?
From time to time, yeah. I mean, I really just bet on football, man. That's pretty much my go to. But yeah, I do throw a little change around. I will say this: I do better when I don't bet. Like I said, yeah, I would probably, if I'm giving advice, I do a lot better than when I'm betting with my own money, because I just, whatever I do, I curse the game. So. If I bet on it. So I usually just try and give advice if somebody wants my opinion, because if not, if I bet on it, you're fucked. Yeah.
I like that. You're a gambler that more or less gives advice, but doesn't. Yeah, I like that. Exactly. All right. Well, then you've come to the right. Well, yep. I do something a little bit different, that I give advice and I gamble. So
yeah,
a lot. So I lost last week, obviously, because I was all tied into the Saints. I did, I actually didn't take too bad of a beating, because I did take Cleveland with 10.
Nice.
And so, I mean, that was, I think it had fallen to 9.5 by the time I got it. That line went from 10 to 8 on the day of the game.
Yeah, I saw that, man. It was pretty heavy Cleveland on the day of the game. I mean, that's where I went too. I went Cleveland on that day too. So,
because Kansas City doesn't cover.
They don't ever cover, man. I don't know why. It's crazy. Like, team that good, and they still make the lines like absurdly high. Like, you know, I remember in the beginning of the year, they were like almost a 20-point favorite, like game two or something, game three, something like that. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way they covered 20 points. And they didn't. I mean, I think they barely won the game. But, I mean, they just find ways to win, man. It's crazy. But, yeah, Kansas City just does not like to cover. So,
Kansas City hasn't covered since November 1st. And November 1st was the last time they covered. And incidentally, it was a 19-point cover against the Jets, but that doesn't count because everybody covers against the Jets. So.
Yeah, that's,
well, that's kind of their thing this year.
Well, yeah, but then the Jets ended up, like, winning two games like idiots.
That they weren't supposed to, right?
They weren't supposed to win. I think they beat somebody decent. I don't remember who it was, but, yeah, I mean, you literally are in the driver's seat to get Trevor Lawrence, and you win two games. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, seriously.
They almost accidentally beat the Raiders too, but then that's when Greg Williams went bonsai.
Yeah.
He lost his job.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, obviously, like I said, Saints lost. I lost. You know, betting with the heart is what happens. Yep. You know, I do want to preface, I am 40. I've had four pieces of candy tonight.
So. Nice.
Yeah, completely legal candy. And I feel obligated to give a cameo update. If you listened to last week's show, we actually had a record listenership last week, Ben, for one week. That's pretty awesome, right?
That is.
If you listened, you would have learned that we were going to unveil a cameo.
Right.
We're going to select a cameo that we won with the gambling winnings from last week.
Right.
Bro, these negotiating with C-list celebrities.
How did that go?
In a controlled environment. Like, it's an environment that really shouldn't even allow for any kind of back and forth.
Right.
You work with contracts from time to time. Yeah. These things take time sometimes. You got to.
Yeah.
I'm very confident that we're going to have the cameo in place by
okay.
next week. I don't know. But there was revisions. There was some conflict.
Okay.
We called an audible somewhere. I mean, there's a lot. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could give you a behind-the-scenes look at that, but I can't.
Yeah. All right. I do have a question about the cameo because – I have like I've been knowing about cameo for a couple of years now. When I first came out, I was like, man, this is kind of cool. You can actually pay these like C-list celebrities to like basically say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Which,
you know, I thought, man, that's genius. So I've been like for a couple of years, I've been kind of toying with that idea. And I, like, I mean, you would be amazed at the people that are on there. Like this
yes.
random, like I saw Donkey Lips. Remember Donkey Lips?
I don't remember Donkey Lips
from Salute Your Shorts. He's on there. You can get him. Yeah. Yep. If you want some donkey lips in your life. But no, I'm very curious to hear what you guys came up with, man. And I know you actually have to like pay to talk to these people, right? Like to have the conversation to even get the cameo, right? Or do you have
it's not like that. I mean, there's been some, it's difficult to explain. All will be revealed in time, and it's going to make it that much better. It's going to make it that much more exciting because there's going to be, I don't know, dude. I get into shit with celebrities. I'm otherwise a pretty reasonable guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I did have a listener like reach out to me last week. He's like, Gunn, now you've like, we're keeping track. You talked about getting drunk and throwing a chicken leg at Bobby Hebert. You know, and then you got drunk and you said you got in a fight with Rudy, the real Rudy, actual nice. Rudy, not the guy that was the goblin or whatever in the Wizard movie, the actual Rudy.
Oh, you're talking about Sean Astin. Yeah.
Sean Astin. Yeah. Not
so
Sean
Astin. You actually were getting in a fight with the Rudy Rudiger.
The Rudy Rudiger.
Person. Okay. Got it.
And guess what? Guess what they got right? He's a little guy.
Yes. Dude, he's such a son of a bitch, dude.
Dude.
He's such a fucking bad human being. Anyway, we got there. I want to ask you something because you know something about this is a little bit. So last night, I went to go to the gas station about 10 o'clock. And as I got to the gas station, it wasn't even the closest gas station to me, but it's the gas station that's got a little bit of character.
Yes.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Right. And I had kind of written them off for a minute, but I'm bringing them back in and I'm giving another shot. So I go there. It's about 10 o'clock. Bro, they were having a meeting, like a bunch of like angry boomers. You know, there's like some deli tables in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch of like angry boomers, like listening to shit on their cell phones.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And they looked at me like I'm fucking, I don't know, bro. Like my sick shades came in. I ordered some sick mullet shades from Sick Clothing and my man out there, super awesome guy. I actually talked to him this week. And so, you know, like, They looked at me strange. I looked at them strange. I had my sunglasses on. It was 10 o'clock. That was probably a bad move. That might have led to some of the looks. I go straight to the counter. Dude, there's like a 3-month-old baby on the counter.
Like in a car seat of some sort?
No, on the counter. Lay on the counter. Like, wow. All right, you've got children younger than me. I can't remember. Like, the baby was so, like, it's not one that's capable of rolling over.
So was anyone attending to said baby?
Yes, there was a lady there. She had just finished changing its diaper.
Oh, yikes. Okay. Yep.
And was kind of, like, rooting around in the first aid kit.
Wow.
I wanted to leave so bad. But like I could hear QAnon shit coming out of the back of the room, you know?
Yeah.
From the gathering, and I was like, bro, just leave the shades on.
Yeah.
And buy one pack of cigarettes.
Yep.
And get the fuck out of here, dude. Yeah. And I'm never going back.
Yeah, I can't blame you there, man. You know that.
I can't go back.
Yeah, there's a line in a movie that says. Something along the lines of like, I've known enough to know that I've seen it all or something like that. That seems like an appropriate line for that, because that's just, I mean, hey, where else are you going to see a baby on a counter getting its diaper changed while they have the QAnon boomers in the back, you know, talking about conspiracy theories and
yes.
Yeah, man. So, can't blame you for not going to want to go.
I'm not even worried about like COVID. Or the flu. I'm worried about like baby doo doo hands.
Yep.
You change diapers. Yeah. You know what that? I mean, you know, bro. You know, you get a little shit on your hands.
Nobody wants
being a parent, but you're gonna get so it's like that's okay. That's not a problem. Just don't.
Well, that's
So let me ask you this, because you're an expert. What's that like for property values? Because that's, you know, that's out here where I'm buying. Where this happened. This is the closest gas station.
Okay. Yeah. So that's probably not good.
That's for property values. Do they have a metric for that? Can you measure that type of thing in your world for property values?
Yeah. There's not something direct that would probably measure that. I think that would be more something along the lines like if you're like talking to the neighbors before you buy the house, like, yeah, man, don't ever go to that gas station because there's people changing babies on the counter. So that would be one of those type of things. I don't think it would necessarily affect the value directly, but it might just scare someone away if you saw that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of this other thing. Like my daughter and I, we got a gift card to go to Applebee's.
Nice.
Because, well, that's not all that nice.
No. I meant that like nice as in like nice.
Someone nicely gave us a card, but it was to Applebee's. And so we went to go use it, and she was like not thrilled about going to Applebee's, and neither was I. And we got there and, you know, order our food. And now they have those little electronic gimmicks on the table now,
yes,
right?
I'm familiar.
And when she was younger, she used to want to play the game or whatever. Right. She was like, nah, like that. Not interested.
Yeah.
Right. So we didn't spend the $3 whatever on getting some doo-doo on your hands by touching that thing. Mm-hmm. But we were looking at one of the advertisements for the game, mm-hmm. and they had a game on there. Bro, the premise of the game is you're a single mother working at like an Applebee's, and shit, like times are hard, mm-hmm. and you got to bring your child to work with you.
Okay.
And the child sits in the corner while the parent, you know, asks people how many chicken tenders they want, right? Okay. And the name of the game is Emily's New Beginning.
Oh, okay.
I looked it up because I was like, surely this is not a game that's like,
that's not real, right?
Fucking make, like, it's just very casual about like a really shitty situation.
Okay.
And I was like, this can't be. And so I'm Googling it there at the restaurant. Still didn't pay to use it. And that's what it is.
Okay. So
maybe the gas station, I'm trying not to take too hardcore of a, like, I'm not trying to hate on Emily's New Beginning at the gas station, real life version.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking, I just Googled that.
It's real. I didn't make that up. Yes, I'm not making this up.
Dude, that is...
And the child gets bored and it starts to fucking fuss. And
I'm looking at a screenshot of the game. So there's a kid, like, they're got surrounded by like a baby gate that's just sitting over like about 5 feet from people eating their food.
I feel the dark arts. I feel the dark arts coming on just talking about this.
That's crazy, man. That does not seem, who comes up with something like this? Like, what do you,
who enjoys playing it?
That's another thing. Like, this has, let's see.
If it wasn't popular, they wouldn't have it.
No, you're right. It's rated 4.2 on Google Play. Out of five.
They could have Tetris instead of that game.
But
they're like, fuck Tetris. We're gonna roll with Emily's New Beginning.
What is sitting in the meeting talking about, like, when they're coming up with like new ideas? Like, all right, guys, I've got this game. It's a down and out waitress, single mother.
Fucking bullshit, huh?
Like, what?
Dude. Oh, yeah. Like, well, we've done focus groups that's exactly what the people want.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it can be relatable in some instances, you know, if you're a single mother and you're working at an Applebee's or, you know, Hennigan's or whatever, you know. Yes, I get it. Makes sense.
It makes me feel unwell, dude.
Yeah, no, it's actually a horrible idea, but.
And then the real life version at the gas station.
Yeah, there you go. That's, I'm sure her name was something similar to Emily, I'm sure. It was probably.
Probably something.
Yeah.
I do want to, we're going to talk about USC later. You mentioned earlier that you've mostly bet on football. You ever fuck around with UFC?
I've placed a couple of bets here and there on UFC. I'm a UFC fan, man. I love watching the fights. Actually, I think my guy is fighting tonight, man. Matt Schnell, I think, is fighting tonight, which is, he's a local guy. He's a Shreveport guy.
We're going to discuss Poirier and McGregor.
Okay, Poirier and McGregor. Yeah. So I'm definitely looking forward to that on Saturday. I think there's some fights tonight too. But yeah, I do dabble every once in a while. I'll throw, like, if I know about the fighters, which, I mean, the cards are so deep now, like, they're it's hard to know anything about any of the ones on the prelim card and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'll probably place a wager this weekend on the McGregor-Poirier fight, because those are two fighters that I know. So be interesting to see who comes out on top there.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're gonna get into that one pretty deep later on. I do want to, before we get to this week's NFL action, we only got two games. It's championship weekend. And I think we're gonna do something that we normally do with that slate. Ben, I am 5 days short of it being 1 year since I decided to live an alcohol-free lifestyle.
Amazing, dude. That's amazing.
5 days from a year. So in honor of that, I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
Who is the most famous person that you've ever gotten drunk with? And if you haven't really like sat down and got drunk with, like, maybe in the presence of, but
yeah. I mean, like actually got drunk with, man. It's tough for me to say. Usually when I get drunk, it's typically by myself with my wife. So
that was kind of my jam. Yeah, that was my jam too.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I was kind of thinking like, man, who have I gotten drunk with that's famous? And like, I can't think of anyone that anybody listening would ever know of. But I did, when I used to work at Cat's Meow back in 03-04, which is a karaoke bar on Bourbon Street, New Orleans. Right. For those of you who don't know, I was a bouncer there. And I mean, they had NFL players coming in and there out of time all the time. You know, I saw Lawrence Taylor once, shook his hand. Let's see who else came in and out of there. I think, I'm trying to, Bruce Smith, like one of
the defensive end for the Bills.
Yeah, he was all time sack leader at one point, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some NFL guys, but I never actually got drunk with anyone remotely famous. I was able to meet Trump a couple years ago. That was kind of,
whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah. So just a quick story on that. So my friend of mine is Secret Service.
Okay.
He might kill me if I tell him, say his name, but anyway.
Don't do that.
Yeah, so they lived out here actually in Pearl River and they were.
I know that guy. I know the guy you're talking about.
Do you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, remember?
Did we have
him? You and I have talked about him. Yeah, okay, he drives an Audi. Yeah, Audi. Okay. There's an Audi involved. So, yeah. Yeah.
So he was able to, him and me, Ashley, were able to go meet him when he flew in New Orleans. He just kind of had a little meet and greet, shook his hand, all that kind of stuff. That was kind of neat, man. Trump was a lot bigger than I thought in person. Like, he's actually taller than I am.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like 6'4", man. He's probably
he might have had heels on, though.
He might have. That's true. And the hair.
He had them Saban Nikes, you know?
Yeah. No, man, that was, I don't, as far as run-ins while I was drunk, yeah. I mean, if I did, I was probably too drunk to remember. So what about you, man? I know you've got one that you want to tell me about. So let's hear it.
I had the occasion to like sit down one-on-one and get drunk with the Ultimate Warrior. And nice. The pro wrestling's the Ultimate Warrior, you know, guy that ended Hulkamania. What was WrestleMania 4-5? Wow. Anyway, dude, he was, and he's not known as a party guy.
Okay.
He was, his drug of choice was something else, that didn't relate to partying. But maybe like, you know, spring break, take your shirt off.
Oh,
Yeah. He came into town. I was working at a, you know, I was in grad school working at a university, and my job was to like help people when they came to town. Like, you know, Ralph Nader came.
Like a ambassador type person.
Almost like a chaperone. I went and picked, like, Ralph Nader was one. So like I went and picked up Ralph Nader at the airport. And I toted him all around all day, and I made sure all of his, you know, demands and needs were met, and then had dinner with him, and then brought him back to, you know, the next closest town or whatever for the night. And so like we brought Ralph Nader, and like the kids that were like on the left end of the political spectrum, like they wanted to bring in Ralph Nader, and we brought in Ralph Nader. Incidentally, Ralph Nader and I did not get drunk together. I have no getting fucked up with Ralph Nader stories.
Damn it.
But the kids on the right were like, well, we need to get a speaker in too, because we spent money to bring a left-leaning speaker in Ralph Nader.
So they
decided to bring in the Ultimate Warrior.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. How did they end up on Ultimate Warrior? I mean, all right, I get Ralph Nader for the left, but what?
Uh-huh.
Where is Ultimate Warrior? How does that?
Well, you may not know about this because it was a little, it's kind of a weird time in Warrior history. There was a point, so this was around 03-05. There was a point where he wanted to go on the lecture circuit and he wanted to talk about politics. Okay. He wanted to talk, but like really, really deep, like the Federalist Papers and shit. Like he wanted to get into like constitutional scholarly, like with a side of asshole. He was kind of also a notorious asshole.
Okay, right? Got it.
From, you know, people that worked with him in the wrestling business, his fellow wrestlers. I mean, you know, he was shit to negotiate with, all that. So he's doing the speaking tour, fucking the most boring, like 90-minute lecture you've ever heard, you know, and I sat through political science classes. So I should have an interest in this, but it didn't interest me at all when I actually saw it. But everybody heard that the Ultimate Warrior was coming to camp. So motherfuckers showed up with like face paint and signs, you know, like a raucous ballroom.
Oh my
God. To hear this dude just drone on about like, just really, but he also, you could tell like he's barely high school educated. So like he just found this stuff on the internet, you know?
Okay.
And he became like fascinated with the Federalist Papers or whatever. And, it was really boring. And then he did some like Q&A afterwards and everybody wanted to talk about wrestling. And of course. He doesn't want to talk about wrestling.
Oh Jesus. Come on, man.
But he's also, like I said, like, so, you know, I remember him saying something about like, you know, he sees a homeless person and he gets fucking pissed off or something. And, like at that point, I'm like, all right. Yeah. All right. Jesus. Like, all right, dude. So, but it's my job to hang out with him. And we booked him at this hotel that had a hotel bar. And I was like, dude, I'm going to ask him. And I had like a phone full of people going, you know, where's the Warrior going to be? I'm like, I'm not telling anybody, you know? And, so I was like, hey man, you want to get a drink? And he did. So we sat down at the hotel bar and he got like white girl wasted after like three beers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Cause think of this guy's metabolism.
Right.
You know? And he was, and he was never a party guy.
Yep.
So he got shit faced pretty easily.
Right.
And I was, you know, full blown young, little young pup. Right. Alky myself, so I was fine. But he started talking about, like, he brought up like Hamilton and Burr and the duel.
Okay.
And he's like legitimately, you know, like when a drunk person like puts their hand on your shoulder and like, I'm telling you something serious.
Listen right? to me.
Except it's the fucking Ultimate Warrior,
right, dude? Like
doing this to me right now, right. Dude. This guy, he legally changed his name to Warrior. Like he pulls out his credit card. It's just Warrior.
Okay.
Because Vince McMahon, the WWF, owned Ultimate Warrior. So he had to just name himself Warrior. He legally changed his name to Warrior. His driver's license said Warrior. His credit card said Warrior. His wife and his kid, like they adopted Warrior as a surname. Right.
Yeah.
I can't remember his wife's exact name. I think it's like Beth Warrior.
Beth Warrior. Nice.
Yeah. And nice. Like, you know, this kid would be like, you know, Sam Warrior, whatever.
Sam Warrior. Oh,
stuff. He was intense. So he like puts his hand on, you know, like, and you know, he's drunk and he like really, and it's like, motherfuckers, you know, he's ripped. He's huge still. Yeah. And he's like trying to tell you that they should just fight to the death in Congress. To settle their disputes, like legitimately, you know.
I can actually dig on that. I kind of like that idea. It's not a terrible idea. I've heard worse.
You get through the politicians a lot faster. I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about term limits, right?
Right.
No term limits.
Yeah, that would be amazing. All right. So just off topic. Well, not on topic, but all right. So who would you like to see in Congress duel it out to the death? Like top of my head, I'm thinking. You go, woman. You go, probably Nancy Pelosi,
mm-hmm.
maybe against like Dianne Feinstein, maybe something like that. Even though they're both Democrats, it'd be fun. Yeah,
aren't they both older, or like over 80?
Yeah, they're both like decrepit. Yeah.
What kind of weapons do they have?
Ooh, I don't know.
Are they bare hand in a cage? Or are they? Do they have weapons?
Okay, so I think cage match with like weapons. Purposely, like, kind of purposely placed around, like chainsaws and maybe a mace, possibly like some nunchucks. I don't know, but that would be awesome. I think that's a great idea. I think Warrior was kind of ahead of his time. Maybe something that we could do in the future.
You know? We're getting there.
Yeah,
we're on our way. You know, we're there. Don't. I mean, you've spoken it into existence, Ben.
Yeah. Well.
So
I expect to see this, and
I know people that say that's a thing. You have to speak it into existence.
Oh yeah. That's what do you call that? That's whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Speak it into existence, and it will be.
So that's the time I got drunk with the Ultimate Warrior, and nice. And he died, you know.
Yeah.
7 years later or something like that. RIP Warrior. Right. I want to talk about the Saints last week. More specifically, I want to talk about Drew Brees. Drew Brees is the greatest Saint of all time, and he is a Saints legend, and he picked New Orleans up when we were down, and he made us legitimate again, and or more than we'd ever been for a very long period of time. And there's also kind of a little bit of a stain on the end, you know, that we, I think you have to acknowledge.
Yep.
But I don't know, dude, I was so upset about the Saints, actually Monday, not even really Sunday night, but Monday. Ben, what's your take on the Drew Brees retirement pending?
Man, so first, yeah, I will just echo the sentiment that you said, that, you know, he's definitely the greatest Saint of all time, not even close. There's really even no other close second, because you're right. After Katrina, I remember the first game back, because I wasn't lucky enough to be inside, but I remember the game against Atlanta, where the first game back in the Superdome, and that was like the Gleason block, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And just knowing that he brought so much energy and so much, you know, so much back to a city that needed it. So he will always be the greatest Saint, in my opinion. But what happened last week, man, was it was kind of gross. Like, I didn't want to see it in that way, because he deserves better, but he's not. I think that's it. He's done. I mean, he hasn't officially announced it yet, but I mean, all reports saying he's gonna hang it up. But, you know, there's talk out there today that he was playing with a torn rotator cuff, plantar fasciitis, all this kind of stuff. His wife was basically, Brittany was basically saying that he was playing with all this stuff. And now I'm kind of like, why was he even playing? Because he didn't throw a pass over 20 yards the whole game.
That makes it worse.
Yeah, it makes it worse.
I'd rather not know that, but it feeds it. And I had already kind of thought this out, what I'm going to say tonight, prior to that information. But that just pours kerosene on my thoughts, which is, it was Jameis Winston's rookie year. I think it was the second week of the season, and the Saints were having their first home game in the Dome, hosting the Buccaneers.
Yep.
You could probably look up and see what year it is. I can't fucking remember, but, you know, there's the context. I'm up in the 600 level, right? We're drinking the Dome foams, you know, your $9 delights or whatever, you know. And when you don't have access to radio or commentary, you may not know what's going on with injuries. But Drew got hurt in that game in the first half. And it was so clear he could not throw the ball. Like, it was clear something, you know, he just looked like shit. And you're sitting up there and you're looking at everything and you're seeing, like, oh man, why is he missing all these deep guys? Why is he just, you know? And you get home and you find out that he's hurt.
Right.
But then you go, well, dude, something was wrong. We could tell. Okay, you were hurt. Well, that doesn't make it better.
Right.
Why did you stay in the game? To me, you're saying that 50% of you is better than 100% of the guy behind you.
Right, exactly.
Whose job is to step up. Right. Specifically his job. And your teammates who are all going at 100%, you're saying that 50% of you is enough for them. That's not right.
Not right, man.
And that game, I isolate that, you know? And I was really upset. Like, Drew kind of took a step back for me back then because of that.
Right.
And I was like, that's an ego. No, it's not just I want to win. That's an ego thing. Oh, he's such a competitor. Yeah, he's a great competitor. He picked up a ball off the fucking turf this year with 22 broken fucking ribs and a punctured lung. Whatever. Sure. You know, like, no one's questioning the man's heart.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got heart for forever.
Yep.
But that was a glimpse into it.
Yep.
And then you look at it this year, and then Brittany shares on Instagram that Drew had a fucking torn rotator cuff.
Right, that's insane, man.
Really?
Which
I hope she ain't exaggerating.
I'll tell you, a torn rotator cuff, I've never had.
I've torn a rotator cuff.
I've heard it's fucking painful, like extremely painful.
Dude, so it's, you shouldn't be throwing a football with a fucking torn rotator. That's
there's no way you can throw a football with a torn rotator cuff. I think she's exaggerating.
They just inject it.
It was partially torn. Maybe it's
so much fucking pain goes. If you watch, any college football, just watch for when the guys go get shot up and come back out. It's amazing. It happens every game.
Every game.
I feel like, and I don't even like I said, Drew's the greatest Saint of all time.
Yep.
I feel like we might have had a quarterback problem this year.
I would totally agree with that.
He might have been the problem.
I mean, look at what happened. I mean, even Taysom. Taysom didn't play great, but I mean, at least he gave you a chance.
We had to
respect the deep ball.
Right.
With Drew, I mean, they were just jumping the routes because they know that they're not gonna do like an out and up or like a slant and go. They're not gonna do any of that stuff because Drew can't throw it deep. So they were jumping the routes all day long. That's why he threw three picks because he's used for those being open. They weren't open. So
did you see like Brian Baldinger, former head coach Brian Baldinger, who's an analyst now, posted on Twitter? It was like a little video compilation of all the times that Kamara was open, wide open.
Oh, no, I didn't even see that.
On short, check that out on Twitter. Brian Baldinger posted it, dude, or retweeted it. And it's like, okay, well, there was, and he's within your little 5-yard window
range where he can throw it. Yeah.
It was like everything. I mean, it was like this whole fucking season was like one big anxiety attack for Drew Brees.
Yep. It felt like it, man. It was kind of hard to watch. I hate that the season ended like that because this was it. I mean, this was your year. Like this was, because look, man, they're gonna be so far over the cap next year that I mean you're gonna have to cut a lot of talent, dude. Like a lot. Like you're not gonna be able to pay everybody. So this was it. You were all in this year, man. So the fact that it ended like that it leaves a bitter taste in my mouth, man. This was like, I think this loss, and I was in the dome for the Nola no call. I think this loss probably hurts a little worse because, like, at least the Rams played a good game that game. Tampa did not play well. Like, the defense played okay, but it was just kind of like, man, they couldn't push the ball down the field. Which, I mean, like I said, it was just they could just key in on the short routes, and that was it. And that's, you know, but I feel like Drew cheated us this time. We got cheated by the refs last time, but I feel like Drew maybe cheated us a little bit. So,
well, and you could maybe say that for the last 2 years.
Yes, you could. I mean, look how well Teddy played last year. Man. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, Teddy's not doesn't have near the talent that Drew has. But I mean, he did well. I mean, undefeated.
You got to be a good quarterback. I mean,
he's a good quarterback.
We saw Chad Henne come in this weekend and replace Mahomes, and for like two passes, I'm going, hey, you know what? My hunch was correct. Anybody can be successful in this offense, and then you see Henne, like on his third pass, it was just like okay, never mind. Yeah, good thing they got Mahomes. Yeah, good thing they got Mahomes. But I don't know, man. I hate when a legacy ends that way.
Right.
Like with Drew. I mean, you got to really, really be intentional about getting past that part, thinking about the good, you know. And it's Wednesday, Thursday, this is going to come out. Hopefully, everybody's getting there. We can help the process or whatever.
Yeah, man. We can all heal together.
We can all heal together. So you ready to talk some football?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
All right. NFC Championship game is the early game on Sunday. And the Tampa Toms are traveling to Green Bay to take on the Green Bay Packers. Packers are a 3-point home favorite. Total on this game is 51. Ben, what are your thoughts on Tampa Bay traveling to Green Bay for the NFC Championship game.
All right, man. So this is where I shine, right? Because I give better advice than actually betting. So I'm not going to tell you which way I'm going to bet. Here's the way I looked at it, man. I think it opened at like 5 or 4.5 Green Bay, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I thought then I would jump all over the Packers. I would take that 4.5 all day long. I just don't think Tampa is as good as Green Bay. I think Green Bay is a more complete team. I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback at this point in his career than Tom Brady is at this point in his career. So you got the better quarterback, you got a better coach team, you've got a better team all around. I like the Packers big this week. Like I'll gladly lay 3 points and take the Packers. I just think they're a better all around team. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Devontae Adams. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Aaron Jones. I mean, I don't know, man. It's to me, it seems like Green Bay is rolling. And I know that Tampa beat Green Bay a few weeks back. What was it, like week 12? I don't even remember what week it was. And I think they put it on them pretty good.
Yep.
But I think that was a fluke, man. I just think Green Bay is rolling right now. I think Green Bay is a better team. I like Aaron Rodgers better than I like Tom Brady. And not just on a personal level, on just as a pure football player level. I think he's better. I think that Green Bay will be able to, run the ball enough to where they'll have to respect the play action, and they're gonna catch a few deep plays on them. Because honestly, Tampa's secondary last week, they basically just said, "Okay, you beat us deep. Oh well, you're not gonna beat us short." Well, this week they're not gonna be able to do that.
Right.
So they're gonna get exposed this week. I like Green Bay in a big win, double digits. So that's where I'm at on that one.
When they previously played back in October, Tampa ended up winning 38-10.
Yep.
And the total on that game was 55, so they missed that by 7. But I agree with you. I try to stay away from the lines because, bro, Satan himself makes these lines.
Yeah, they're rough.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The devil makes the lines, dude. That's, I can say it's a machine or some guys in Vegas or whatever. It's the devil.
Straight up Satan. I like it.
But that being said, I think we can defeat Satan if we just take Green Bay -3.
I like
this
it.
This week. Yeah, I think that I feel like we can beat Satan on that one.
I like it.
Which is why, I mean, I believe in the teaser so much because you take Satan out of it.
Right.
You take Satan's influence out. It's better that way. It's easier. Makes the game more fair.
Yeah, definitely.
To not have to be fighting Satan. So, I want, you know, this is going to be the first end of a two-way teaser.
Okay.
And I'm going to do another six-point teaser with this week. And I really, I mean, it's almost an unnecessary tease. But fuck, why not give Green Bay 3 anyway? Because I really want the 6 points on the next game.
Okay.
You know, the next game, I mean, I'm for the record on Tampa and Green Bay, I'd stay away from the total. You know, I think you're safe. I think you're safe with at least a push where you're at with, you know, taking the line.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tease it anyway. So I'm going to do that. The next game is really going to be something, and they were smart to make this the nighttime, you know, prime time. This is going to be a great fun game to watch. You got Buffalo traveling to Kansas City for the AFC Championship in Kansas City. Of course, they're going to be 3-point home favorites. Total on this game is 54. Ben, what you got on Buffalo at KC?
I'm really going to be interested to see how this game plays out, man. I guess the big thing is Pat going to play? Is Mahomes going to play? I think
yes.
That's where everybody's kind of at.
Yes, he's going to play.
He is going to play.
He didn't even have a concussion last week.
Okay. Well, I watched that game. I'm pretty sure he had a concussion.
No, he got choked out.
Did he really?
He got choked out.
Okay. Is that what they're telling everybody? Because it looked like he was a little woozy.
That's what people in Kansas City are saying, is that he choked out.
Okay, I got it. Okay,
and yeah, that's why he was woozy. That explains him being woozy.
Okay, that would make sense. It's true. If you
that's why he was woozy.
Oxygen,
yep.
Yeah.
He was out of it for sure. And nobody, so, look, and look, he probably could have come back that game, but when there's that many eyes that see a dude that wobbly,
nope.
No.
You can't do that, bro. No. Right. No, you can't do that. All right. Well, that, I mean, look, if Mahomes is playing, he's 100%. I mean, this is a no-brainer for me. I hate Kansas City to cover. You know how it is, but I think it's small enough. I think it's small enough. I think it's 3 points. I think Kansas City is, I mean, obviously they're a better team. I get, well, they're comparable to Buffalo, but I think they're better. They're much better on offense than, and Buffalo's a really good offense, but they're just much better on offense than Buffalo is. And I think Buffalo's defense is going to have a hard time just keeping, like everybody does, keeping Kelce contained, keeping Tyreek Hill contained, keeping all the speed guys. They have so much speed. It's ridiculous. Like they will burn you one way or the other, or they'll just run it down your throat too, because they can do that as well. And I don't know if Clyde is playing this week. I know he's trying to play last week. But I love Clyde, man. Obviously LSU guy. So I mean, it's if he's playing, I like the chance a lot more because their running backs last week looked not great. Actually, I like Williams looked better than Le'Veon Bell last week, but. I mean, I just like Kansas City better, man. They've been there before. They were there last year. They're better coached at this point, I think. You gotta love you some Andy Reid. So I am all over the Chiefs at -3 here. Although I do believe it will be a competitive game, I think I will lay the 3 with the Chiefs. And then the total, I don't like the total on this one either, because, man, at 54, is that 54? Do you have 54?
Yep. Yeah, 54
seems to me. I don't like either. I don't like it. So I would just take the -3 and roll with it.
Ben, this is where I'm really happy to have the 6 points.
You okay, know,
because I think Buffalo +9 is an unstoppable force. Right?
Yeah.
I'm taking Satan out. And his 3 points, because guess what? Is you know, it's amazing. Is KC never covered? They haven't covered since November 1st.
Yep. Yep. Okay. You know? Yep.
They hadn't covered since November 1st. So you know, whatever. I mean, if they're going to cover, they're going to cover 3. It'll probably be a push.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's close, man. 3-4.
Which in a teaser, this push doesn't kill you. So I'm gonna tease Buffalo up to +9.
Okay.
And I'm going to run that with Green Bay +3. And, you know, we should have a good week. I mean, last week it was so funny going into the Saints game on Sunday. I had a chance to hedge.
Uh-huh.
And I could have come out really, 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 really well. Now that was like totally drinking the Saints Kool-Aid by that point. You know, I mean, yeah, dude, exactly. I'm Saints playoff game of that magnitude. You're just, your blood is flowing. You're just...
Yep. It is
humming, you know, and yep. Dude, I took Breeze over 2.5 touchdowns.
Wow. Okay, you were feeling good.
I was, bro. Oh, I was, my frequency was at a high level, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I could have, like I said, I could have hedged, and I was like, bro, what kind of fan am I if I hedge? Well, you know, would have been a better off. And that's how I typically structure these things. And you could even structure this one that way, but that's, I think it's easy. I don't think you're even going to be in a position to want to hedge, you know? So
yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
I agree.
You've got right now futures to win the Super Bowl. Green Bay is +155. The Bills are +300. The Chiefs are +170. And the Bucks are +400. You know, so.
It's like Vegas likes there with some Green Bay.
Yeah, I would too, but it's at that number, it's not a good value.
It's not. Know? It's not worth it. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for some value there, I mean, get you some Buffalo, bro, because I think Buffalo could realistically win this game. You know, I mean, that's a little bit of value. And if they get in the Super Bowl, dude, I think they have the ability to beat Green Bay or Tampa Bay. Honestly, I think the winner of Super Bowl is coming out of the AFC. But I mean, ugh. Yeah, you can't lay money and taking the Packers on that. Yeah, +140 you said. Yeah,
155.
Yeah, either way, I don't like it. So
because they may be the underdog if they face Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Do you think? Yeah, I mean, who do you think that line looks like? You think? Yeah.
I mean, I think it's another 3-point line, right?
It's also pending the outcome of this week's games. But
sure, yeah, because I mean, look, any team can win either of these games. I mean, right. I don't think there's going to be a blowout on either side. I mean, a blowout meaning like more than like 10. I think 10 is probably where I would sit on Green Bay. I think Green Bay is going to beat about 10 plus. But I think it'll be close. I don't think it's going to be like one of those ones where they're up 24 and they get Tampa Bay gets two garbage touchdowns. They end up, you know, getting beat by 10. I think it'll be close. I think Green Bay pulls away late. But I mean, yeah, there's nothing to say that Tampa can't win that game. And if Tampa's in the Super Bowl, that's kind of what they want. I think that's what the executive want. They want to see Brady in another Super Bowl. I think that's what they want, man. I don't think it'll happen, but you know, we'll see.
You might see some officiating magic late in that Tampa Green Bay game to ruin my teaser.
Yeah,
before we get out of here, I want to talk to you a little bit about UFC.
Okay, cool.
I know you're a UFC fan. You said you don't necessarily bet on UFC as much, but we got a big fight, and we got Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor, the rematch. Of course, the last time they met in 2014, McGregor TKO'd Dustin in under 2 minutes.
Yep.
Right. They were both, I think McGregor was 26 and Dustin was 25 at that time. Mm-hmm. It was actually at UFC 178.
Wow.
So obviously the Diamond is an underdog in this one.
Yep.
And he's coming in. I've got him at plus 240. I don't know if you see him anywhere, anything better than that. But what's your thoughts on McGregor and Poirier?
I don't have a good feel on this one, man. I think this could go either way, because I think honestly, I'm a big Conor fan, man. I love Conor. I think he's great. I think he's great for the sport. He keeps you interesting. I mean, he keeps you interested. I mean, I love the way he talks shit. I mean, to me, that's the biggest part of why I like him so much, man, because he just talks shit and he doesn't care. That being said, Dustin, you know, Dustin's a Louisiana guy. You got to kind of pull for the, I honestly don't care. I would be happy either way, whoever won the fight. Now, I think you're getting a lot of value in it. I mean, I've got it at plus 255 here on my site. So
that's even better.
Yeah, I think you're getting a little more value there. I take Dustin. I mean, I think it's an evenly matched fight. I think either fighter can win. I think Dustin's come a long way in those, seven, 8 years, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Dustin's a much better fighter now than he was 8 years ago. I think Conor is probably a little, not as much better than Dustin is, you know, from there to then, or from then to there to now. But I mean, shoot, man, if I was going to put a little money on this, which I may, I'm not throwing it out yet, I would throw it at Dustin just because there's more value there. I think realistically, they can both win the fight. So I'm gonna go. Yeah, if I had to put some money on it, I'd throw a dime at, not a dime, maybe like an actual dime. On Dustin, just because there's more value there. I think people overhype Conor, and that a lot of people bet on Conor because they like him. You don't get as much value there. So give me some Poirier, man.
He's definitely, he's definitely the underdog, and I think he's going to come in as a hungry underdog.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I think he's hungrier than McGregor. I think skills-wise, these guys, I don't know, man. I mean, McGregor beat the shit out of Cerrone, but
yeah,
Cerrone. As much as I love Cerrone,
yeah, I love him too. But he was washed up.
His button's been pressed a few times, you know. But yeah. I think that actually the bet that I'm leaning into on this fight, even though I do think Dustin's going to win, is actually over 2.5 rounds.
Okay, I like that too.
Just for the fight, and I'm seeing that at plus 155.
Yep, I got it 160, so yeah, it's about what I have it. So.
And then William Hill's showing like plus 125 right now.
Okay.
So
okay. So they like it a little less, okay.
Well, yeah.
I kind of like it.
Because
like
it's likely. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to, I mean, I think no matter what happens, I don't think anybody's getting KO'd in the first round.
Nah.
you know, and I don't think that, I think once you make it to the first round, I don't think anybody's getting KO'd in the second round. I think this is going to be a great fight, you know, maybe an instant classic. And I just, it's going to be hard for our boy, dude. It's going to be hard for Louisiana guy, but I'm pulling for him, man. I'm pulling for him with everything I can. I really hope he wins.
Yep. This is one of the ones that I'll buy, which, you know, I don't like spending my money, but I will buy this one. This is one.
And if Poirier knocks him out in under 2.5 rounds, I ain't mad at him.
No, awesome. I hope he does, man. I really do. Like I could, like I said, man, I can't. Like Conor's my guy, but then I love Dustin because he's from Louisiana. Dude's got, you know, he's got a couple of charities where I know he helps out a lot of the kids in the Lafayette area. So I mean, how can you root against that guy? So I'll be watching it as a fan of just fighting. You know what I mean? Of just mixed martial arts, man. Which it should be a pretty entertaining fight.
It'll be a good fight. I'll have to call you whenever, text you when it's over. Dude, that's all I've got for this week. You know, do you have any final thoughts you want to share with anybody?
No, I don't. The one thing I do want to say is that we're just to kind of circle back for the Saints fans, man. We might be, you know, better off maybe, but
right.
This might be a rough year, 2021 or 2022, I guess would be the season, or 2021. But I mean, look, man, who dats for life, man. Love me some Saints. And, you know, if I have to put the bag on my head next year, I'll do it, but we'll see, man.
You're not going to need a bag next year, brother.
Yeah. There'll
be a playoff team next year based around a badass defense and a running attack. And I think we're going to have a more than serviceable quarterback playing for the Saints next year. May already be on the roster, may not. Who knows? We'll see, man.
Should be interesting, though. But yeah, well, man. Look,
Ben, thanks for coming by. Thanks for spending the time with us. Very excited to have you on the show, and really appreciate all your insight tonight. Appreciate all your help. Appreciate your advice. You know, as always, it's been a joy. Yeah, and with that, I just want to say that Billy Gunn loves y'all, and we'll see you on the other side later. I'm the